Good morning, church. Is there joy in the house of the Lord today? Come on. Is there joy in the house of the Lord? Then let's not be silent, but let's give a shout of praise to the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it so good to be together today? You know, I don't know about you, but this past week, I've been stirred in my soul. As events in recent history, geopolitically, across the world and in our own nation, as we reflected yesterday on 9/11, I can't help but have my soul stirred to action, especially as we've looked at, for the last couple of weeks, the end times. I don't know about you, if you know this or not, but guess what? Jesus is coming back. Amen? And as he comes back, before he comes, he has set us on a course, a mission for his glory and for his namesake, for his kingdom. Amen? And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be his hands and feet. We have been called to be a part of his great mission, commissioned by Jesus to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them all that Jesus has commanded us to go and do. But are we living that life the way that Jesus has called us to live it? Or are you like me and you enjoy your comfort and your convenience far too much? Because I love being comfortable, don't you? And then I like to sit in the hot tub and relax. But is that the life that Jesus called me to live? Not that there's anything wrong with hot tubbing. But is that all there is, or is there something more? I believe that God has called us to something so much more than just our comfort and our convenience in this life, even as the body of Christ, even as we go through and as many of us lament that we are living in a day and a time that we never thought or imagined possible. Life is not the way that it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we have an opportunity to lean into that, or we can do the alternative, which is to retreat, and we can just whine and lament and groan about it. Which is easier, to press in or to whine and complain? Whine and complain is far easier, isn't it? And that's what we're so tempted to do. Man, you know, that's not the way I was when I was a kid. I find myself saying that. How about you? I used to laugh at my dad and my grandfather for saying that. And now I am that. But we have an opportunity, brothers and sisters, because Jesus didn't call us to lament and worry about what was past. In fact, Jesus says, "He who puts his hand to the plowshare does not look back, but presses forward." Amen? And so this morning, I want to breathe life into us. I want to challenge us as we look at what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be as his hands and feet, as the body of Christ built together into the dwelling place of God, filled by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to take forth and fulfill the commission that he sent us on. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read through verses 11 through 22. Paul writes this. He's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, a church of Gentiles, a church of foreigners who had never experienced the hope and the salvation that was available to them except through Christ Jesus. Because up until that point, up until Christ's appearance, and until when Jesus became flesh, the God-man, there was the Jews and then there was the Gentiles. And the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, they were Gentiles. They were pagans. They worshiped false gods. And they were dead in their transgressions. They were dead in their sins, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 in the very first verse. But through Christ, because of God's great mercy and great love, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful picture, a beautiful reality, death to life because of Christ? And that grace that saves us, it's not of anything that we can do. It's not anything that we can earn on our own, by our own merit. It is a gift of God so that none of us can boast in our own ability. Some of us are pretty able, aren't we? We're pretty capable of doing things. We have successful businesses. We have successful relationships. And there's a point where we can grow pretty comfortable in our success. Amen? But God has called us to something deeper, richer. Verse 10, because we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship are we? His. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Again, this is a demonstration of His workmanship in us and through us for His kingdom, for His glory, which God prepared for us beforehand, that we should what? Walk in them. God has a plan and purpose for each one of us in this room, whether you've acknowledged that or not. And that purpose and that plan for each one of us goes beyond our comfort and convenience, amen? It goes beyond our past mistakes, those things in the dark corners of our life that we're so embarrassed or we're ashamed of that only maybe very few, one or two, if anybody, actually knows the real us. Jesus has created us for good works. We come to verse 11, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, so Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What Paul is reminding his audience is that you were at one point hopelessly separated from God. Hopelessly separate. You had no hope. You had no understanding, no knowledge of what it meant to be in a right relationship with the Creator. And that's the reality for all of us, amen? That's all of our experience, that apart from Christ, we have zero hope for life beyond this life. In fact, we have really no hope for this life now. But the good news is that God didn't just leave us hopelessly separated from Him. Verse 13, but now in who? Christ Jesus. You who were once far off have been what? Brought near. I love that. Don't you love that image? You who were far off, who were separated, who were hopelessly separated, you are now brought near. You are brought near because of what? The blood of Christ. Praise God for His great love for us, amen? We are created, we're His workmanship because of the blood that Jesus spilled on the cross for you and for me. Jesus did that as a demonstration of His great love for us, that He wouldn't leave us hopelessly separated. Because in Christ, we have been brought near. We are no longer far off. Verse 14, for He Himself, Jesus Himself, is our peace. Jesus has become our shalom between God and man. Jesus, who has made us, verse 14 and continuing, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments which were expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Now, Paul is clearly talking about the relationship between Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, that in Christ, the God-man, God made flesh, He has taken upon Himself and He has established a brand new economy, a brand new system of governance, right? Whereas before there was the Jews and the Gentiles, now there is just one in Christ. So that hostility that existed between the children of the promise, which were the Israelites, and then all of those outside of that dividing wall of hostility has been put away because Jesus, by being completely obedient to the will of His Father and fulfilling the law and commandments perfectly, He's done away with them. If you remember from our study in Hebrews, what was the whole purpose of the law? The whole purpose of the law was to demonstrate just how short we are of God's glory. Amen? The law was never intended to bring us into a right relationship with God. The law was always intended to point out just how depraved and sinful and corrupt we actually are. And so Jesus, by His life and His death and His resurrection, by fulfilling that law and living it perfectly, He's done away with it so that He might create in Himself a new man, a new reality. A new reality, so that both of us might be reconciled to God, but also not just reconciled to God, but reconciled to one another. Amen? It is only through Jesus Christ that we can have a relationship with one another. that is genuine and redemptive and affirming and honoring to the Lord, the way that we were designed and created to experience relationship. I don't know if you know that, but that's true. Because apart from Christ, our relationships might seem benevolent, they might seem beneficent, but really apart from Christ, our relationships have nothing to do with me being there for you, but what's in it for me, amen? How can I leverage this relationship to my advantage and to my benefit? And once it no longer works for me, what do? We cancel each other, don't we? We walk away from relationships. We see it in marriages all over. But Jesus has shifted. He's changed the narrative that we might be reconciled both to God in one body, verse 16, through the cross, thereby killing, I love this image, killing the hostility. The only way that you can do away with hostility is to kill it. So a force requires equal force, if not greater force, to end it, right? And so here Jesus has put to death the hostility, the enmity that existed that separated us not only from God, but also from one another. Jesus brought peace because he is peace. Verse 17, and Jesus came and he preached peace to you who were far off, and he preached to those who were near. You see, Jesus is an equal opportunity peace bringer. Amen? He's an equal opportunity peace bringer. He brought peace, he preached peace to those who were separated. He also preached peace to those who were already covenant members of the kingdom of God through the law, the children of Israel. So that means that gospel truth, that gospel peace that Jesus brings applies equally to everybody who would receive it. Amen? So that there's no longer two, but one. For through him, verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer what? Strangers and aliens. You are no longer foreigners. You are no longer far off, but together through Christ, you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, their teaching and their prophecy, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the entire structure of faith, the body of Christ, is being joined together, and it grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ is as the church? The church is not just a building that we come to on a Sunday morning, but the church, look around you, is us. It's you and me together. No longer are we strangers. No longer are we aliens. No longer are we foreigners, but we are what? Fellow citizens. We're members of the household of God. And all of the rights that come with being a member of God's house, right? Think about your kids. Think about your grandkids. Is there ever a point in your home that your home is not open to your kids or your grandkids? No. If your kids are out late beyond curfew, do you lock the house up and say, good luck? You're sleeping outside. No, we would never do that, right? Or grandkids, the same way. For those of you who are old enough to have grandkids that can show up at any time, our home is always open to our family, amen? We have our kids, our family always has access to us and to our home. And everything that is in our home is available to them for use. They can come and my kids can raid our refrigerator. But that's what it means to be a member of the household, amen? And in the same way, those of us who are in Christ, we are members of the household of God with all of the rights and benefits that come with that. We also talked about this in Hebrews. When Jesus came, right, he established in the throne room of grace, the holy, most holy place. Jesus tore that veil in two so that he set up a place for us, and he invites us into the most holy place 24 hours a day. We have access to the throne room of grace, so that we might be encouraged and find hope and strength. And it's so beautiful that as citizens, as members of the household of God, that we are family in the body of Christ. And we're built on the foundation of the apostles who proclaimed this good news after Jesus ascended into heaven, and the prophets who foretold of Jesus' Messiah's coming. And Jesus himself is what? He's the cornerstone. Jesus is the foundation stone upon which the body of Christ is built. And it's in him in whom the whole structure, which is joined together, which together we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. So often in my ministry experience, you know, I run into people who ask me, you know, can you help me understand what God's will is for my life? I don't know what God is calling me to do. I don't know why I'm here, what I'm supposed to be doing. And a lot of times we think of that in terms of our vocation, don't we? We think about it that in terms of who we should marry or where we should move or relocate. And we always run it through this lens of what's God's will. God's will, very plainly, right here says that we are to be fit together, joined together to become the temple of the Lord. If any part of our plan and purpose for our lives does not take that into account, we're missing the point. But each one of us in this room, and it starts here, we have to be working towards being fit together. Not fit together because it's convenient or because we agree politically or we agree theologically, but because we agree on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Amen? And that's hard work because it forces us to get out of our comfort zone, doesn't it? It's so easy for us to only gravitate to those people that we are familiar with or that think like us. And it's harder to connect with those that maybe think differently. To the point where in our culture, those that think differently are marginalized because they're what? They're wrong. And if they're wrong, then I don't want to have anything to do with them. And you know what we're doing? We're missing the point. Amen? Is there joy in the house of the Lord today? Come on, church. See, we are a dwelling place for God so that when we gather together corporately, we're the body of Christ, we're the church. But get this, when we walk out the doors, we don't stop being the church, amen? But we take the church with us because we are members of the body. We have been fit together for His glory, for His purposes. We just sang about build your kingdom here. It starts with us. And are we working actively with the Lord to set aside our preferences, to set aside our differences, to pursue Him, to become that dwelling place? Or are we avoiding that and are we not living out God's plan and purpose for us because we're too comfortable, it's inconvenient, or you fill in the blank? The challenge is that we need to set that aside because if you've paid attention to the news lately, we're in the last days, amen? Jesus is coming. The world needs us more than ever to be the body of Christ scattered as we gather. That we bring as ambassadors, as His hands and feet, in our spheres of relational influence that God has providentially and sovereignly placed us in. There are people that you are connected to that nobody else has a connection to, that God has uniquely placed you in to say, it is your job and your responsibility, your mission, to reach this person with the gospel. And are we leveraging that or are we avoiding that? Not that we're preachy, preachy, preachy. That's my job, right? But are we living out that redemptive relationship with Christ that Jesus paid for with His blood? The peace that Jesus has brought to us. Check this out. Verse 22. In Him, in Christ, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for who? For God, by the Spirit. See, not only are we growing into a holy temple, but once that temple is built and erected, we're actually a place for which God, by the Holy Spirit, indwells. Not only we physically, individually, is our body a temple of the Holy Spirit, which Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, but together, corporately, we are a temple in which God dwells by His Holy Spirit. That's why there's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen? That's why we can't be silent any longer. But we must shout His praise wherever we go to the glory of His name. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 95 years old or anywhere in between. Because as you've heard me say, if you're not dead, you're not done. Until God calls us home or He shows up and we join Him in the clouds, we have a responsibility and obligation to be His hands and feet as the body of Christ. Amen? Because God desires our very best. Because Jesus gave His very best. He gave Himself. He gave His blood. He calls us to give Him our very best for His glory, for His purposes. And so what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to sit on the sidelines and come on Sunday morning and go through the spiritual motions of checking the box. I went to church, I did my morning Bible study, but then that doesn't touch my life in any other capacity throughout the week. Are we actually going to engage and get in the game? Because there's a war going on. There's a spiritual battle that requires all of us to engage in. And it might seem like, well, we live in northern Minnesota in Park Rapids. What does that have to do with me? But if we take seriously what Paul is calling us to become the men and women that God has created us and called us to be, we can have an eternal impact for our community and our region. And if it can't start here, what hope is there for the rest of the world? Amen? There's a video clip that really nails this home as far as are we giving Jesus our very best? It's from a movie that you may have seen. It came out in 2006 called Facing the Giants. I want you to check it out. Don't quit. There are times in our Christian life when things are difficult, and Jesus is there by our side like that coach saying, don't quit. You've got more in the tank. Don't give up. And sometimes it feels like we've got the weight of the world strapped on our shoulders. Jesus is there. Don't quit. But how many of us are like the other team on the sidelines just watching it all go down? That's why Jesus is calling us to become the men and women, the church, the body of Christ that he's called us, that he's created us to be. Amen? Because too often we give up before we even get in the game. Because we're comfortable like those other guys on the sideline watching what's going on. And then those men and women that take that step of faith, that want to drive to the 50-yard line, that are tempted to give up, we kind of look at them and wonder, and we go, wow, they're pretty phenomenal people. You know, I could never do that. But that's exactly what God has called each one of us to do, amen? And that's why God has called us to live life together in community, as we're fit together, as we're joined together as members of the household of faith, so that together we can encourage one another on. Now, that coach, he wasn't yelling and screaming to beat up on that kid, but he knew that kid had more to give than he even knew himself. And in the same way as men and women who are members of the household of God, we have more to give. We have the best that we can offer that is untapped in us because we're comfortable, we're convenient, because we're afraid. And Jesus is saying, no, give me your best. Are we willing to trust Jesus? Because Jesus gave his best for us. Are we willing to give our best for him? Are you giving your best for him? Now, there are some things that we are so excited about here at FaithBridge as we take this step to fulfill this vision. You know, we say after every service that we're the church, that we love God and we love others. And that's not just a feel-good statement. That is who we want to be as the body of Christ here at FaithBridge Church. We want to be the church that Paul describes and talks about in Ephesians. A body of Christ that is working towards unity within its membership, that is willing to set aside differences for the sake of being united in Christ, to exalt him, to lift him up, to see that our friends and neighbors are experiencing the redemptive life transformation that has occurred in us because of what Jesus has done. We love God because God first loved us, amen? And we love others because God loves us. We love others because we are called and commanded to live in that love. Are we giving Jesus our best? So along those lines of why we exist, what our vision is, we want the programs of the church, the things that we offer, the things that we do to be in alignment with that vision. Not that we just become a church with awesome programs. That's great, but that's not the goal. The goal isn't that we have lots of activity just for the sake of having activity, that the doors are open. The idea is that each of our programs allows us to do our best to drive into and generate genuine relationships, to live life, to breathe life into one another, that we can champion and cheer each other on in this life until Jesus calls us home and we've crossed the end zone. Amen? And so to that end, we've got faith classes that started today. It's so exciting to see the classes full in love and respect in Ephesians. We've got kids ministry that's meeting out on the chapel. We've got faith student ministry, 7th through 12th grade, that's meeting off the gym. We've got Wednesday nights for our faith student ministry. We've got faith family nights at the end of the month for those that for families to come together and to be poured into, to breathe, have life breathe into them. One other thing that we're super excited is we're going to really focus on faith groups. Stay with me. Faith groups. Small groups. But faith groups. Because life is better lived when we live it together. Amen? We were built for community. And it's so easy in this large gathering of the body of Christ, in this building, for those of us to hide. Because it's comfortable and it's convenient. But God is calling us to take that next step to get into a smaller community of brothers and sisters in Christ so that we might be able to live out pulling the best out of one another. And it's going to come with risk. It's going to come with vulnerability and transparency. And many of us are going to be afraid to go there because it's easier, it's more comfortable and convenient for us just to sit in the chairs on a Sunday morning and then go home. But that's not what God's calling us to do. God is calling us to dig deeper. Why? Because the world needs us to be his hands and feet. You look at the world around us and where it's going and what's going on, it needs us now more than ever because as the church, we are the hope for the earth. Amen? And so whether you are currently in a faith group or not, we want to encourage you for those that want to host those groups. And a host is someone that is able to open their home and just invite people over and make them feel welcome. We've got the teaching cover through Right Now Media, but we're going to have a meeting about that on September 19th to talk more in depth of what does it actually mean to be a faith group host. And I want to challenge you, if you have that gift of hospitality, if you've just been sitting on the sidelines and you've not been engaged in the game, now's the time to get off the sidelines and get involved. Because genuinely, eternity hangs in the balance for many people. And that those faith groups aren't just for those of us in this room. Those faith groups are offered for those that are outside that want to come and become connected. Because for those that are still outside, that are dead in their sin, that are far off, that are still strangers and aliens, coming to a church building might be a little bit intimidating. Coming to your house is not so intimidating. And we can start establishing those relationships and loving those people, breathing life into them, and showing them that there is something different and genuine about walking and living our lives for Christ as redeemed people. Amen? Is there joy in the house of the Lord today? Let's not be silent any longer, church. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the truth and the reality of your word. We thank you for the goodness that we have because of Christ, that Jesus, that you have become our peace, that dividing wall of hostility and separation because of our sin, because of our enmity towards you, God, because of the sin that we've been born with has been set aside and has been dealt with through the blood of Christ. So that no longer are we separated and far off, but we are now members of your household. God, I pray for the men and women in this room, Lord, that you would just work, Holy Spirit, in their lives, that you would bring to light those areas that they are withholding from you. Lord, those areas that would prevent them from experiencing the full and abundant life that you have for each one of us, Jesus, that you desire for us to experience because we're your workmanship. We are created in Christ to do good works, to not sit on the sidelines, to not lament and complain about the way things used to be, but Lord, to face the present now and look to the future hope that we have in your return, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And thank you so much, Jesus, for calling each one of us by name. I pray that we would respond and say yes to you. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
They'll know us by our love, amen. As we're fit together as a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me as we dismiss this morning? What a privilege, what an opportunity we have before us. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Are we going to give Jesus our best this week?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And we do that because he loves us. because we're the church. We love God and we love others.